Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, for the promise of your presence with us by your Spirit, for your word, the Bible, that teaches us and trains us in righteousness. May you help each of us to be open to your words today. Amen. Do you have any precious heirlooms? Anything that's been entrusted to you from a previous generation to look after? A painting, perhaps, or some jewellery? Something that is very precious. I must admit that when my grandmother died, she insisted on giving me some what could be best described as flying ducks. Do you know the sorts of things that people used to have on their window, on their walls? I think the sorts of things that were in somebody's room in Coronation Street comes to mind. Anyway, guess where those ducks are? They're in a box in the roof because at the moment I have got nowhere to put them. Sorry, Grandma. And I'm not even sure that my children will want them. Much more precious to me from her were the remembrance of the times that we spent together, the wisdom that she shared with me, the wisdom that I hope I've imbibed and in some shape or form will be passing on to my own children. That, to me, is really precious as an heirloom. Today I want to talk about something that we have all been given, that has been entrusted to each of us, that is hugely precious. And each of us has a responsibility to look after and to pass on to future generations. This gift is the story of God. The story of God. The good news about God's character and his actions. In Psalm 78, the psalmist exhorts the people to do just this. Let me read you a few verses from it. My people hear my teaching and listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter things from of old, things that we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Sadly, in Israel's history, that was not always done. Some 600 or so years before Christ, a long line of kings had not followed God. They had not retold his story as they led God's people. And the result? The temple was in ruins and worship was effectively disbanded. And then one day, a young king, King Josiah, instructed that the temple should be repaired. And in the process of repairing the temple, a book was found. And this book was taken to the king and read. And as he listened to it being read, he tore his robes because he realized that what was being read to him were the words of God. How he knew that, I don't know, because I don't think he would have been read them by his ancestors, because everything had just gone into abeyance. But something supernatural happened there, and he asked that God be inquired of to find out what this book was about. And Josiah went on to be a good and wise leader. Imagine if we, this generation, stopped telling others about the story of God. Quite soon, these buildings would be closed for worship. They'd be taken over by perhaps another worthy cause. But perhaps the books and other artifacts would be removed and we'd be left with a museum. And in future generations, people would come and look round and see and marvel and question perhaps, what was it that people did here? So who told you first about what you know about God? Was it your grandmother or your grandfather or a Sunday school teacher? Who was it and where did you hear it? Or more recently, think about the truths that you and I have been reminded of in recent weeks as we thought about the Reformation solas, that we are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone, by Scripture alone, and for the glory of God alone. In the gospel reading that we had, we were reminded that in his day, Jesus came to bring the good news of God to that generation. And in our generation, we are called to do a similar thing. Not in the same way that Jesus brought it, of course, because we're not Jesus. But we still have a responsibility to bring the good news of God's story to others. So I wonder to whom you will pass this good news on. If we have children and family members, they become a particular responsibility of ours to pass on the good news. And it doesn't need to be complicated, does it? We don't need to be a biblical scholar to do it. We just need to tell people we know about God's living work in our lives. Someone has said that the church is always only ever one generation away from extinction. Why? Well, because unless this generation passes the story on to the next and invites the next generation to join in, everything will be extinct. It's a bit of a salutary fact. Well, in our second reading, Paul is writing to his young apprentice, Timothy. There is a very strong bond of affection between them, a bond of partnership in sharing this good news. And for Timothy, he had a great heritage, didn't he? He had a grandmother called Lois, who passed the news on to Eunice, his mother, who passed the news on to Timothy. And now Timothy was entrusted with this good news and was passing it on to others. Perhaps that was the way it happened in your family. Well, be thankful if it was, because there is no greater blessing than to have been brought up in a home that fears God. But if you weren't brought up in a home that was what you could describe as a Christian home, you will have heard the story from others. And that's why you're here today. And so we praise God for those people, perhaps a Sunday school teacher or a friend or someone at university, whoever it was. We thank God for them. I thank God for the people who invested in me spiritually, especially when I was a young Christian at university. I think of a vicar, Richard, now working just outside Oxford, who spent time with me every week, just chatting things through and reading the Bible and investing time in me. And I pray that I may be doing that for other people as well. Now, Timothy has been prayed for by the elders who laid hands on him, we're told, in verse 6. And this was a sort of commissioning so that he became a minister of Christ. And Paul urges him to fan into flame that gift, that commissioning. We know that in circumstances, Timothy was both young, we know he suffered from ill health, and we know that he was very, very shy. So Paul needed to encourage him to fan into flame this gift. And he speaks specifically to him in verse 7, where he says, "The Spirit does not make us timid, but gives us power." He was encouraging this very timid man to lean on the power of God. But it's interesting how it changes from an instruction to Timothy in verse 7 to instruction to all of us. So in verse 6, it's Timothy being commissioned, but in verse 7, look at the pronoun. It's us. We're all encouraged to do this. We're all given the same spirit of power so that we may be confident in sharing God's story with others, of love so that we draw on that power to serve others and not serve ourselves, and of self-control so that we are reverent and restrained as we share that story. So in these first few verses, we've learned already about the part that others have played in Timothy's life and the part he now must play himself. Both are important. We're grateful for those who've shared the story with us. We now must take responsibility for sharing it with others. But we must get over something that Timothy had to get over. We must get over our shame, our embarrassment even, about sharing the story of God's work in our lives. Timothy was clearly in the same place that perhaps most of us feel when we feel about sharing this good news. He, in some ways, was a little embarrassed about it too, because otherwise Paul wouldn't have had to exhort him. Do not be ashamed. If Timothy was not ashamed, Paul wouldn't have had to say, do not be ashamed. And even Paul felt it himself, but he somehow got over it himself. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. So he got over it somehow. And Jesus challenged his hearers in his day as well with these quite challenging words. He said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory. So we've probably all been there. An opportunity arises to say something about God in a conversation, and straight away you get butterflies in your stomach. Your throat goes really dry, and your heart begins to pump out of your chest. Do you take a risk and share what you were planning to say, or do you go for the safe option? Or maybe thinking together about the beauty of God's story, the work in your life, will help you to get over the fear of sharing it with others. I sense that nowadays people are much less receptive to being told what they should believe in. But that's not actually what we're being asked to do. We're asked to be witnesses to the work of God in our lives. And nobody can discredit that. Our personal experience is profound and valuable and something worth sharing, I think. And I think we could all get over our embarrassment of that. We can think about how God has rescued us, perhaps from ourselves, perhaps from uncertainty about the future. We could think about how God has given us a sense of meaning and purpose in life. And we can even, on an eternal level, think and share about how God promises us life everlasting. So we can talk about forgiveness, transformation, and immortality. And I'm sure each of those things are something that have touched us in our own lives. So I wonder what aspect of that you might share with someone quite soon. Perhaps even today you'll be given an opportunity. Some of this will be shared by words. I was reading this week about some preparation for Good Friday that we're going to be doing. And the person was making the point that most people nowadays are not really aware of why Good Friday is called Good Friday. They might appreciate the fact that they get an extra day off work. Not everybody does anymore. But if we don't explain to people why we call it Good Friday, they're never going to find out. They won't just find that out by a process of osmosis. We have to say something about why we believe it's good that Jesus died. Some of it, therefore, needs to be shared by words, but much more of it needs to be simply shared by our actions, by our lives. If we lead lives that bless others, if we try to be different in a good way, not gossiping but building other people up, not serving ourselves but serving others, not paralyzed by fear of the future, but living out our hope, even when perhaps we face illness or even the prospect of death, then that will make an impact on other people's lives. So we're to keep to following the sound teaching in verse 30, in verse 13. This sound teaching is healthy. It's really, that's what the word means. God's words, his wisdom, we are to keep to that. And we are to guard the good deposit, to look after this treasure as we would any precious heirloom entrusted to us, so that we may pass it on undamaged to the next generation. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to God, your God, sorry, who say to Zion, your God reigns. I couldn't miss the opportunity, if it works, just to play that short aria of Handel's sung by Dame Kiri Takanawa, based on Isaiah chapter 52. And perhaps as we listen to these words, these beautiful, beautiful words, based on that verse, it will help us to pause and to reflect and to think about how we might be sharing that good news with other people.